Live on 99.1 The Sports Animal and Fox 43 Sports in Knoxville, this is Tennessee Sports Night.
And we welcome you to a Monday night edition of Tennessee Sports Night as the work week, a new one, has begun. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Himes. We've got a lot to get to, a lot to look back as Tennessee played at Alabama, the Crimson Tide, winning a 13th straight against the Volunteers. We'll talk about that. We're joined by Ryan Callahan of 24/7 Sports in this first segment. Then after that, we've got cleanup on aisle three, and there's a lot to clean up. There's officiating, there's called shots that didn't happen, missteps, you name it. In segment number three, we'll hear from South Carolina coach Will Muschamp. That's Tennessee's next opponent. Comments from Vols coach Jeremy Pruitt. And then, Jimmy, we get to last call, which I know you'll enjoy, previewing the World Series, which starts tomorrow night.
Yeah, I know one of the teams in there I like.
Yes. So there's the World Series, which starts tomorrow night. There's Monday Night Football as Week 7 of the NFL concludes tonight. And we'll also take a quick look at NASCAR as we're down to the final eight in the field of the race for the playoffs. So anyhow, or I should say the playoff race. But we start now with Ryan Callahan of 24/7 Sports. Ryan, how are you?
Hey, guys. Doing well. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. It's always great to catch up with you. Sure do appreciate your time. Tell me, last year it was like the game was over between Tennessee and Alabama before the Vols could break a sweat. What did you think this year? And while Alabama wins by 22, there was a chance Tennessee was trying to pull within 8 points, within a single score in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it was really a shocking game. It was funny. People sort of asked me, what's the scenario? What would it take for Tennessee to win this game? And I said, you know, I've kind of thought about it. Really, the only thing I can come up with, all the possibilities involved Tua Tagovailoa getting injured. And sure enough, that's what happened. So it's not something you can count on. But once you lose a guy like that who's just the star and the centerpiece of everything they do offensively, it changes things. And I'm sure with Tua in the game, it probably would have been a different outcome. But that happening gave Tennessee a legitimate shot to hang around and make things interesting. So it's a 22-point loss, and it could have been even closer than that, obviously, if things had gone differently in the fourth quarter. And a lot of positives for Tennessee to build on, but just a strange game with some things, obviously plenty to talk about from that because of the penalties, the injuries, everything that happened, and that obviously the fumble at the goal line there on the quarterback sneak by Garantano that everybody's been talking about since Saturday night.
Ryan, I'm not into moral victories, but I will say this. Whenever I watch Tennessee get beat by somebody, I try to see if there are things that they did well enough that might carry over to where they could beat other teams. I think that Tennessee at the line of scrimmage is far better than it was at the start of the year, offensive line and defensive line. What are your thoughts about Tennessee's improvement in those two areas?
Yeah, I'm really impressed, mostly by the defensive line in a way, because I think we all kind of saw this potential from the offensive line just when you knew they were starting two true freshmen early in the year at offensive tackle. You had Trey Smith coming off the offseason of essentially no practice. There were reasons to think that group would get better, and it's to their credit that they've had some moving parts on the right side of that line in particular and still have gotten better throughout the year and that they are running the ball pretty well against some good defenses now. But that I could at least have seen happening. I was really not sure what they could get out of this group of defensive linemen. So I'm really impressed that they're getting some solid play from those guys, that someone like Greg Emerson has stepped forward and become a pretty dependable guy in the middle of that line. So Latrell Bumpus has emerged as a pretty decent pass rusher, even though he wasn't out there Saturday night. So they've had some nice pieces developing there, and they've gotten good enough that I think they can hang in there, and that's going to translate, like you said, into some of these games down the stretch that are really important for them.
Ryan, it's unfortunate. Brian Maurer helped Tennessee get off to a pretty nice start, scored the tying touchdown in that first quarter, but then unfortunately had to leave again due to injury and what looks to be another concussion. What do you think that this week might be like, as well as perhaps the rest of the season for a young man who's just trying to find a way to stay on the field?
Yeah, that's a really complicated situation now, and Jeremy Pruitt, of course, has not, he had the one comment in his post-game press conference Saturday night saying he got a concussion, and then has sort of not been willing to say that in his comments when he's been directly asked about Maurer's status, saying they're still evaluating him and all of that. But having a couple, if it's even a concern of a second concussion in 7 or 8 days, that's obviously a major concern. Two concussions at any point is not ideal. Two concussions that close together would be something to really, really monitor closely, and something that you have to really make sure he's cleared and completely out of the woods with those issues, because those can lead to obviously further complications. So you hate to see it for a young guy who is starting to, I think, settle in and become a pretty good young quarterback, showing a lot of promise. But now for them, it's a really, really tough situation. They've got to just listen to the doctors and see how he progresses. But it makes Tennessee's quarterback question mark a big one going into these final five games, because they need Maurer back on the field.
Ryan, I thought that Nigel Warrior, to be frank with you, had been a disappointment as a Tennessee Vol, as a four-star player. And then all of a sudden, the last three games, he has stepped up and played like I thought Tennessee figured he would play when they got him. What do you think's led to the turnaround with Nigel Warrior?
I would love to know myself. I think this is finally maybe just an example of a coaching staff, you know, maybe connecting with him on a different level, or just finally getting him to realize the things he needs to do on the field. And this is maybe the best example we've seen in a while of how this can happen. But the light just comes on at different times for different players, and usually experience makes it happen before a guy gets to his fifth year or fourth year. But for a fourth-year guy like this who's been playing really since his freshman year, it's a little unusual to see it. But it might be a situation where the light has just started to come on and he realizes some of the things that he can do. He's kind of explained it as playing with more confidence. I don't know if it's as simple as that, but I think that is a possibility, that when a guy starts playing with confidence and realizing he can make plays, that sometimes they just come in spurts. And he's certainly been on a pretty good hot streak here the last three games.
Ryan, what do you think the plan for Tennessee this week will be at quarterback? I know they would love to have Maurer available, but if he's not, what do you think in terms of Tennessee starting Jarrett Garantano? They almost have to, you would think, but you throw in the background of, we'll just say, the flap between Coach Pruitt and Garantano after that fourth and goal quarterback sneak attempt. What do you think the next step is?
Boy, that is a really big wrinkle to throw in there. And like you said, you would think it's Garantano if it's not Maurer, if he's not able to play again. But I don't know, because once you get to the point of, you know, potentially undermining what a coaching staff's doing, or undermining the play call and ignoring their wishes there, letting your teammates down on top of that. You know, you're talking about a guy that you kind of risk losing the locker room in a way as a quarterback when you do something like that, that ultimately costs your team in a big way, which that play obviously did. I don't know. That's a complicated dynamic now, I think. And I certainly could see the argument for at least giving JT Shroud a shot, although I think he is still a little bit of a risk there, because he's not shown that he can really take care of the ball and doesn't have a ton of experience. So a guy in practice who's kind of scattershot with his accuracy and throwing some interceptions and things like that, you'd hesitate to throw him in there for his first start against an SEC team. But I could at least see the argument for it. I don't know what they'll do there, and that's a really, really tough call going into an important game.
Ryan, Tennessee's bowl hopes they're a long shot, but how important is beating South Carolina in an effort to try to get to postseason play?
I think this is their bowl shot. Mm-hmm. I think it simply comes down to this game, because I personally think they'll have a tough time winning at Missouri. I think that's a tough matchup for Tennessee next month. So when you look at the path to a bowl, they've got to beat UAB, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt to have a shot. So that fourth win you need probably needs to come in this game, unless you can find a way to upset Missouri on the road next month. So, yeah, I think it comes down to this. I think Tennessee winning this game gives itself a pretty good shot at making a bowl, and that's gotten a lot tougher with South Carolina playing better. But, yeah, I think this is kind of do or die in a way, even though they'll still mathematically have a shot if they lose this one. It's harder to see that path needing to go undefeated in November if they don't win this game.
Ryan, we always appreciate it. Thank you so much for your time. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. That's Ryan Callahan, a 24/7 sports fantastic follow on Twitter at RyanCallahan247. Up next, cleanup on aisle three on Tennessee Sports Night.
This segment of Tennessee Sports Night is brought to you by United Grocery Outlet. Shop us first.
When it is Monday on Tennessee Sports Night, we always like to take a quick look back at those things that perhaps those that were a part of it would like a chance to do it over again. It comes down to players that could have a misstep, coaches that have a wrong call, or, as we start cleanup on aisle three, Jimmy officials. Either one, calls they should have made, or calls they wish they hadn't. But certainly, you look back at this last Saturday of SEC football, and you saw a lot of impact by calls that were made or not made.
Well, you did. And the two games that really stood out to me that I watched the most, Florida and South Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama. In the Florida-South Carolina game, there was an obvious pick play by Florida that led to a touchdown. And then on a 75-yard run by Damon Pierce with Florida, right tackle jumps. And then as he's running down the left sideline, there was a wide receiver that looked like he grabbed the jersey of a defensive back in South Carolina and just rode him for about 40 yards. And what was that? I was singing that song. I'm going to take my horse down to Old Town Road. I'm going to ride him till he can't no more. Well, he rode him down the sideline for 40 yards or so. Didn't call holding. I thought it was holding. Those are two tough calls against South Carolina. It led the head coach of the Gamecocks, Will Muschamp, to call an official gutless for throwing a flag 40 yards away, he said. And then Tennessee-Alabama, I thought there were a lot of missed calls in the course of that game. I thought the Darrell Taylor call for roughing the passer was, you should have given him a warning, not a flag. I thought it was interesting that Alabama, toward the end of the half, could get off a pass play in 1 second. And the ball was in the air at least 15 yards, so I guess that guy's got a good arm. There was a bad spot, I thought, when Tennessee got to the two-yard line. They spotted it on the two-yard line plus about 2 feet. I just thought there were a lot of calls that were missed in that game. I'm not saying that Tennessee would have won it, but I thought there were calls that prevented Tennessee from having a better chance to win it. I thought it was a bad day for the officiating in the SEC, and I'm not so sure that Steve Shaw, the coordinator of officials, was real happy about what he saw.
I would imagine he would have a tough time being pleased with the efforts, just simply for the fact, as you talked about, you look at key moments. Mm-hmm. And at that point, all you just look for is the opportunity to play the game. Let the play of the game determine the outcome of the game. And there were a couple teams that received an advantage at that point in time. Like you said, there's no guarantee Carolina wins, because Florida really started slow, but really kind of found a rhythm. And for Tennessee, there's nothing that says that with calls, the calls that went against Tennessee don't go against Tennessee, that there's no guarantee that they get the win, but you just like it to be an equal shot.
You'd have had a much better chance with a couple of calls that hadn't been made. I thought that Darrell Taylor call was critical because that would have been the second consecutive possession Alabama would have been stopped with the three and out. I think that would really switch the momentum back to the Crimson Tide.
There are, of course, missed shots, and there are also missed called shots, and that's what we saw in the National Football League last night. After losing last weekend, Philadelphia coach Doug Peterson said, you know what, we're going to go down to Dallas and we're going to win, I guarantee it. Jimmy, what happened last night in Dallas?
Well, his guarantee went backwards, didn't it? He kind of backed off of that as the week went on about the guarantee, and as one analyst said, that was a bad message to your players that you're guaranteeing it, okay, we're going to get behind you, and then you crawfished. And they were like, wait a minute, what's the deal here? Look, Carson Wentz played poorly, had three turnovers, early turnovers. Dallas jumped out to big lead. One of Dallas's best performances. They had not done much in the last three games, but that was a prediction that really went awry, and it's probably not a good idea to stick your neck out like that, in particular when it blows up like that.
Yeah, and good on Dallas. Cowboys, congratulations, because they needed to win. They went out and got it and did so in impressive fashion. Now, when you want to win the Eastern Division in the Southeastern Conference, you likely have to get past, say, this year, Georgia and Florida. If you want to win the East in football, one thing you can't do is lose to Vandy. What happened to Mizzou?
Hard to figure. They didn't show up. Missouri had less than 300 total yards. They didn't run the ball much. Their leading rusher on the season, Larry Roundtree, had like 29 yards. Vanderbilt's a team that everybody's run against. Ole Miss ran for over 300 yards. Everybody's been pounding them and running through them. And then all of a sudden against Missouri can't run the football. Kelly Bryant had a very mediocre game. I was stunned by that outcome.
Yeah, I don't think anybody had Missouri winning the East, but boy, they sure did settle that question in a hurry with the loss and the misstep at Nashville. Up next, we'll hear from South Carolina coach Will Muschamp, as well as Tennessee coach Jeremy Pruitt. They meet Saturday. This is Tennessee Sports Night.
And now, back to Tennessee Sports Night on Fox 43 Sports and 99.1 The Sports Animal.
After the third Saturday in October, Tennessee now shifts its focus to the last Saturday in October, as well as the first of the final five games on the schedule. This year, that's South Carolina. The Gamecocks and the Volunteers kick off at 4. South Carolina coming into this game 3-4 overall, 2-3 in the Southeastern Conference, lost to Florida at home over the weekend in Columbia. Here is what Will Muschamp had to say after his team lost Saturday.
Just disappointed. We thought we came out in the first drive offensively. We're really nice drive going down the field. Defensively, felt like really you gave up the power play We misfit it from the linebacker position, and the safety didn't fit it right. And that guy's got really good speed. They hit the one pass on us there in the second quarter, a 37-yarder, which we missed the reception area coming out of the middle of the field. But they made the plays at the end, and we didn't. And that's on me, and we'll regroup and get ready to go to Knoxville.
And so that is Will Muschamp. And I'll say this for both coaches, Muschamp and Pruitt each had serious problems with some of the officiating that they saw in their respective games, but both started first by talking about here's why we lost.
Yeah. And didn't really sit there and blame officials.
Correct.
And yeah, there were plays, some calls that went against South Carolina that went against Tennessee. I don't know that it cost either one on the game, but it certainly cost them an opportunity to try to win the game. But there were a couple of them that went against the Gamecocks that were just stunning to me.
Yes, and you mentioned the pick play. And there was a huge reaction, as you would expect, from Coach Muschamp after the pick play and the non-call against the Gators as the touchdown stood. But he was asked about it in his post-game press conference. Here's what he had to say when he was asked, do you know why you got the penalty for unsportsmanlike conduct?
No, I don't. The guy ran 40 yards away and dropped a flag. I have no idea.
What is your...
I'd rather him drop it on my feet.
Did you say anything?
Yeah.
No, prior to the flag?
Yeah.
Something that you think warranted an unsportsmanlike?
It's not my judge. Drop it on my feet next time.
So clearly you were unhappy about the totality
I'm not going to comment about anything else. Don't go 40 yards away and drop a flag. How about that? Gutless.
Not going to say anything else.
But he did.
Yes. We turn our attention now to... A quick thought on that. I do believe there's probably going to be a call from Greg Sankey to perhaps both coaches about, all right, let's rein this in just a tad.
They might drop a flag. They might drop a fine on his feet. Yeah,
on his feet.
Yeah, we'll see.
For Tennessee, the Volunteers were much more competitive this year against Alabama than last. Still, Jeremy Pruitt said he's very proud of the program, but also still steps to be taken by both the staff and the team.
You know, one thing that I will say is our players have done, players and coaches have done a fantastic job after a slow start to the season, sticking together, working hard, buying into to the culture that we're trying to establish here. Felt like Saturday we showed really good competitive character, stayed together. There was adversity during the game. Our guys tried to play through it, you know, played hard, played tough. We obviously made some mistakes in the game that kept us from, you know, from finishing the game off. You know, one of the things that we've got to focus on is we've got to continue to develop a physicality, toughness, to play together, and we've got to find a way to win football games. That's the bottom line.
And I do like that, as Coach Pruitt has said after each setback, that while he appreciates how his team is showing improvement, still, they need to go out and win football games. And it doesn't matter who the opponent's been.
I agree with that, but also I'm reminded of this. I remember years ago, Philip Fulmer said to beat Alabama, you got to become more physical. I saw a much more physical Tennessee team against Alabama this time around. I think from that perspective, you're headed in the right direction if you want to catch up to Alabama.
Up next, South Carolina. Here's Coach Pruitt on the Gamecocks.
We play a really good South Carolina football team this weekend. You know, they get turnovers on defense. You can count on Coach Muschamp's defense to be physical, to be tough, to be sound. They play in your face, lots of man-to-man. They're really good up front. The defensive line might be the best defensive line we've played all year. You know, offensively, they've lost their quarterback and had a couple of injuries there, but they found ways. They've been stubborn running the football, done a really nice job doing that, finding ways to create explosive plays, got good runners and got good players on the outside. So got good kickers and good return guys in special teams. So it's going to be a tremendous challenge for us.
And Tennessee will try and get that elusive first win against Will Muschamp. Coming up, last call. Stay with us on Tennessee Sports Night.
And now, back to Tennessee Sports Night on Fox 43 Sports and 99.1, the sports animal.
We've made it to last call on this Monday Tennessee Sports Night, and tomorrow night, before we get to Monday Night Football, Game 1 in the World Series. Jimmy, congratulations. Your Astros are right there with a chance to win their second World Series in the last 3 years against the Washington Nationals, their challenge this year.
What a great game it was against the Yankees. The Yankees tie it with a two-run home run in the top of the ninth, and Jose Altuve has become one of my all-time favorite players. Hit the 5-5, Altuve hits a two-run homer in the bottom of the ninth. And, John, as you know, I've been a Houston Astros fan since anybody can remember.
Since before they were the Astros.
Yeah. So, Colt 45. So, that's about when I started. But it's been a fun ride to watch them. I've endured a lot of bad years for the Astros. But the last, five or so years, they've been really good. And it's been fun to follow them.
Yeah, and you have to really appreciate, we're going to see some great pitching matchups as we get Cole and Scherzer game one, then we get Strasburg for Washington against Verlander for Houston in game two. This is going to be fun to watch on Fox.
It is going to be fun to watch, and Gerrit Cole has had an incredible year. He hasn't lost since May the 22nd. He hasn't lost in his last 25 appearances. I think that's 19 decisions he hadn't lost. We'll see if he can continue it, but he's been on a roll.
Now, tonight, Monday Night Football, you would think that it's just going to be a whitewashing, and chances are it will. I think it's 7 straight wins for the Patriots against the Jets, 6-0 for New England against 1-4. Jets coming off their first win for the new head coach, Adam Gase. But on Monday Night Football, this is their 8th meeting, Jets 4 wins, Patriots 3 all time. Any chance tonight for the Jets?
I don't think they have a really good chance. New England's defense has been outstanding, but Sam Darnold gave the Jets a lift last week. He's recovering from mono. Which, by the way, he was shocked to find out he had mono. He didn't know that. But he gives them an opportunity. You still have Le'Veon Bell, a nice running back. But New England's defense, and even Tom Brady was asked, what's the key to this season? Defense. They're playing outstanding defense.
And now's the perfect time to get a win when it's an elimination race. It was yesterday in Kansas. Denny Hamlin solidified his spot in the next round. He was going to make it anyway, but he takes the checkered flag. We're now down to the final 8 drivers, the Elite 8, in NASCAR's playoffs.
Hamlin's won 5 races this year.
Yes.
He's on a pretty good roll. I would like his chances to see what he can get it done. But this, like you said, they're down to the last 8. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I still think it goes through Truex or Kyle Busch, but we'll see. Congratulations to Denny Hamlin. And we say thank you very much, one, to our guests, but also most of all to you for watching and listening. Have a good rest of your Tennessee Sports Night.